All right, welcome to the iAccess for April 10th, 2024. I'd like to dedicate this program to my Uncle Phil. His birthday is today, and he's passed away back in 2018, so I just want to remember him today. I'm going to get started with a little clip that goes with the beginner's gestures, so I'm going to go ahead and play that for you. Here goes.
Here's a breakdown of common two-finger gestures you can use with VoiceOver on your iPhone. Two-finger tap, pause, play. Use this gesture to pause or start whatever audio is currently playing on your iPhone. This could be music, podcasts, audiobooks, or even phone calls. Double tap anywhere on the screen using two fingers, index fingers from both hands, thumbs, or even one finger from each hand to activate this function. 2. Finger swipe, up down, speak screen. Navigate VoiceOver to speak the contents of your entire screen. Swipe up from the bottom of the screen using two fingers to hear VoiceOver read everything on the screen from top to bottom. To hear VoiceOver, describe the content starting from the current selection and moving down the screen. Swipe down with two fingers. The two-finger gesture is also known as the magic tap. When in an edit field, a two-finger duple tap will activate the microphone feature for dictation. The two-finger duple tap will also turn off the microphone when you are finished dictating. Additional notes. Remember, the two-finger double tap might also answer or end a phone call depending on the context. It's important to practice these gestures to get the hang of them. You can find a built-in VoiceOver practice section within the accessibility settings on your iPhone to help you learn.
Let's not forget to duple tap. Anyway, I don't think there's a day that goes by that I don't use that two-finger gesture to stop music, to answer the phone, to do a dictation. So that is one of the more common gestures that you will find on the as you use the iPhone. All right, so that's my little start to the class or the user's group. Now I'm going to turn it over to the floor for any questions, suggestions, advice, tips, tricks, or app suggestions.
One thing I have discovered with that two-finger double tap is that it seems to work better if you make your fingers like a little V, so that it's very obvious you've got two fingers.
Parker, I was going to say that.
That is a really good suggestion.
Sorry, I didn't mean to steal your thunder.
That's okay. Great minds run along the same track.
You'll also find the two-finger, and I didn't really cover this on this audio, but two fingers is also used in activating the rotor. So having your fingers the same width apart, you can put two fingers on the screen and act like you're turning a knob, and that will activate the rotor and switch it from what I have is like lines, words, characters, speaking rate, things like that. So that's very handy when you're navigating the iPhone. Hey, Sarah, welcome in.
Yeah, that's what I do. I take my thumb and my index finger, place it on the screen an inch apart, and I just turn it like I'm turning the volume control on a radio or something up or down. And then when you get on the one you want, you just do your single swipe up and down, and we'll change the speed or whatever you're on. Works good.
I have noticed that for me, I have a lot more trouble rotoring to the left than I do to the right. For some reason, I can't get it to work going to the left.
I don't really have that problem, but one tip, if you adjust the speed, I would suggest moving the rotor off of that, because when you inadvertently flick up, all of a sudden your speed's going to go way, 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 way fast. And you, that's like, that has happened to me so many times.
Yeah, it has me too. I have a command set up for mine. I have another gesture set up for my rotor because I had trouble with it. So I do two finger swipe right and two finger swipe left for my rotor. Everybody's different on how they do things, but I had to have a different command.
Yeah, it's okay. Whatever works for you. It's a thing to do, you know. I usually leave mine on characters because that seems to be the one I use mostly. Like if you're on Word, you want to check the spelling, you can check your spelling. So I kind of leave it on characters most of the time.
Is there any way to change the speed in smaller increments, or is it just automatically set up? Like, for instance, mine goes in like 4-point increments. I usually run mine on 57, but it goes up to 62, which is just a little bit faster than I'd like, but maybe somewhere in between would be good.
Yeah, I never really paid attention to that. I thought mine went up by like 5. It goes 55, 60, 65, 70.
Well, I use Eloquence, and mine will go to 64% to 69% up to 75. So it's, I would like to have it where it goes up less than that.
That's weird. I didn't know that about Eloquence. Yeah. Mine goes in 5 increments, 50, you know, 50, 55, 60. Interesting.
Well, I'm using the voice Alex, and this is, it just goes
55, 60, 65, 70.
Okay. Well, slow down now.
65, 60.
So yeah, 65 is pretty much where I keep it. But as far as I know, there's, I don't know, I've never really thought to look at in the settings inside VoiceOver to see if there is a increment adjustment.
Well, if there is, I sure can't find it.
Then there probably isn't. They figured, you know, this, but 4 degrees, I find that really interesting because mine does 5. So you're using Eloquence on your iPhone?
No, it is 5. It's 57 to 62, which is 5. But it's not on the on the 0 and 5 increments. It's on the, like, 7 and 2 increments, which is interesting.
Well, see, mine will go up to 60. Mine will go down to 60-something and up to 69%. And I do use Eloquence. And then it'll go up to 70-something. It's... it needs to be where you do it by character, you know, by one increment. You can just keep moving up.
I wonder if the increment is tied to the actual voice.
Question, because, yeah, mine always goes up by 5, and I have, mine is on the 0s, so, but that's a good question.
And I'm not, I don't know the answer to that, so I can't really speak to that. I've used this voice ever since I had a Mac, and this is the voice that I used when I had the Mac, so I'm real used to it.
Good afternoon, everybody. Nice to see you all.
Hey, John. Welcome in.
I like Alex. I use that one, too.
I can't remember which one I have, but I like her. She's good. She sounds like Parker's daughter.
So you use Alex, but yet your speech speed goes in increments between 62 and 67? Because mine's like on the, like, 65, 60, 50, you know, go on and so forth.
Yeah, and I don't know how I got it that way or if it always was, or it's just if I go into the VoiceOver settings and I set the volume that way, it's different than it is if I do it with the rotor. I don't know if that makes sense. I'll have to go into it again and see exactly what it does.
Mine is just like yours, Mar. It's at 57, 62, 67. And I have the standard, whatever her name is, Samantha, or whatever the voice's name is. I forget. But mine's like yours.
Well, that is odd.
I'm just curious, what voice do you guys use for a voiceover? I use Tom.
I use Eloquence. I think it's Reed or something.
I use that Alex. I've been using that for a long time.
Well, I understand the male voice better, but I notice it doesn't say Facebook right. I noticed if I used a different voice, it says Facebook. But if you use Tom, it says something else.
Yeah, you can go into the dictionary and fix that, I believe.
I tried that, but it didn't work.
Sometimes you have to do it several times and just keep doing it until it sounds... Sometimes you have to spell it off to get it to sound right.
I use Karen from Australia just because I started using her on my computer and I really like that voice.
What voice was that?
Karen from Australia.
Oh, wow. I don't think I've heard that one.
Is that the one that... I know I've heard one, I think, from Australia or New Zealand or something, that every time it says button, it says button.
I don't think she does that. There are some words every once in a while that I have a problem understanding, but for the most part, I understand her very well.
Yeah, that button would be hard to get used to me.
Yeah, if I go into it in the voiceover, back to the speech thing, if I go into it actually in the voiceover settings, it adjusts it by 10. And I can't get it to get back to zero no matter what I do.
Yeah, I was just looking under accessibility and this is spoken content. It went in 10 increments. But then when I went back to the rotor, it was 5 increments. 0, 55, 60, 65, and so on. It was weird.
So I wonder, when it goes 62, 67, so on and so forth, I wonder what setting that is, because I've never even seen that.
I almost think it has something to do with I guess it's not the voice. I'm not sure. I give up.
Another mystery with the iPhone. There are several of those. All right. Anybody have any questions or want to talk about a specific thing? The floor is open completely. Well, I ran across when David Goldfield, I'm sure everybody's familiar with him. We get emails from him several times a day. And on the few occasions that I actually do read my email, and yes, I do occasionally do that, Parker, there was one that caught my eye about the app called Simply Radio. And I know we all have like Sirius FM and the different Pandoras and iHeart and all that. But this one seemed pretty neat, and it said it was very easy to use with VoiceOver and had the jukebox feature where you can select a genre and play. I thought that was different from the usual app, so I find that pretty interesting.
I read David's email, and I got that app as well. How about that? And it's very accessible. And jukeboxes, I agree with you. I like that. And you can click on local for your local stations, and you can get things all over the world. It's really a nice app. And it's price is right. It's free.
Oh, cool. That's what I was going to ask if it was free. I gotta see about that.
Free with the exception of Terry, how much does it cost to get rid of the ads?
I don't know. I'd have to go back in and look. They do, yeah, they do have ads, and you can get it without. But maybe I'll go and see if it says in the app. I don't know, but continue, and I will get back to you.
Because sometimes, you know, if it's just $5 to get rid of the ads, I'll do that because the ads can be really annoying.
I'm hearing something, and I have not gotten any notifications myself. But I have the VoiceDream scanner, and I'm starting to hear people talk about the fact that the original company that marketed that is no longer exists, and that whoever took it over, even though you may have purchased, as I did, you purchased it as a lifetime subscription. Now they're saying with whatever new company has taken it over, is going to take it over, is going to charge you a subscription fee to use it. Is anybody hearing about that? Because it's a good scanner, and I'd hate to think, you know, that I bought it. It's mine. Now what?
Okay, the VoiceDream scanner is no longer VoiceDream. It's VD scanner, and I don't believe that is part of the VoiceDream package that they're talking about, but they stepped away from that. They're no longer going to require that you pay for a subscription if you've already bought the app. However, if you want to update and get new features, that's an option available to you. But if you want to keep the app as is, they're not going to charge you any extra.
So the VD scan, that's what I have. That's not part of that whole concept of not being able to get updates. Is that right?
Right. It's not part of them. So I was glad to hear that. Yeah, that's why the name changed.
Simple Radio. Ad-free. Sleep timer. Tech support, $14.99 a year.
I'm familiar with Simple Radio because Epic Radio used them. So, yeah, it's a nice app.
$14.99 a month, Terry, or is that a year?
A year. Well, I'd be tempted to do that. But if I ended up using it on a regular basis, yeah, I could do that. It might be okay, but VoiceDream Scanner is my go-to for reading my mail. It just cannot be beat. Seeing AI, any of the other apps, but this one, hands down, to me is the best.
Oh, I agree with that, especially because it makes that sound where you can really tell, do you have your camera focused correctly, you know, to get a good read. I have one of those stands that I put my phone in, which I need to get a new one because the one that I have is looks like it was made out of Tinker Toys and it's starting to act weird. But you put it on a stand and then when you can slide your book or your paper around to get it in focus and hear a sound that tells you that you know, the louder it gets, the more you know it's got a good focus for a good read.
You know, I'm really lazy, so I don't do any of that. I sit in the chair, I open the envelope, I put the paper on my lap, I hold the camera above the paper, snap, and it works. So I'm just really lazy.
I like to use the Seeing AI, just because it has that short text thing. And when I haven't been able to get like the barcode reader on that to work, I've been able to actually read the text on a can or a box with that. And I like it because you can kind of move the thing around and you can tell exactly what's there and you don't have to keep snapping all the time.
Oh, yeah, I agree. For things like that where you just, I just want to know what it is, please. You can take the can and just kind of slowly rotate it while you're holding the phone in one hand and you're rotating the can. And just tell me what it is. I'm hungry. So, yeah, it works really good for that. But you know what? That's what makes it a beautiful thing. We have all these different choices to be able to do that.
I hold the thing in my lap too sometimes and don't get up and put it in the stand, and it does work well. I have trouble with the Seeing AI barcode reader. It'll make the fast beeping sound that it's found the barcode, but then it just keeps making the sound and doesn't tell you what the barcode is. And sometimes I just go to one of the text, you know, the text, short text, and read the box or something that way and do my best to figure out the package directions, which are normally in the barcode. But for some reason, it doesn't, it'll make that noise like it's found it, but it won't read it.
Oh, yeah. I get so frustrated with the barcode reader, and I just like, I do the same thing. I'm very impatient when it comes to technology. I shouldn't be, but I really am.
Well, it's frustrating because a lot of times you don't know exactly where the barcode is so that you can, you know, focus the camera on it. And, you know, they're in different places. The only ones that are pretty easy is cans because it's usually right near the seam. But other things, it's really hard to even know where it is.
Yeah, because it could be on the bottom of the box, the side of the box, the back of the box. It's annoying. But, you know, I've got a friend that uses that all the time. But, you know, some people just have a knack for being able to find that. But, you know, it's that's why it's so great that we have so many different ways to do the same thing.
One of the things I've noticed is the Be My Eyes, Be My AI thing. When I first got it, it seemed to work pretty well. But lately, consistently, when I've used it to like identify this morning I wanted to see if the jug that I had was vinegar. And so I used it, and it's telling me now that my images are blurry. And I turned on the light in the kitchen even. Reminds me I got to turn it off. That's the thing. If I turn a light on, I forget to turn it off. But it still said it was blurry.
You know, I found that same problem with Be My Eyes. I would take a bunch. I had to go through a lot of paperwork. And after a while, it just seemed like it didn't matter what I did. Said, oh, the picture's blurry. Can you take another picture with better light or something? And it's like, I don't know what's going on with that. I even tried restarting the phone. And it's like, well, is the camera dirty? Did I get spots on it? I've had that happen to me too.
Has anyone ever done a restore to factory? I think you still have your phone number because you're, you know, it's on the SIM card. I think that part will work. But you should be able to reinstall all your apps, I would think. Because my phone has acted screwy for the last probably 3 or 4 months. It'll play a message, it'll cut off, then it'll start playing it again, or it'll, if I ask, do I have any missed calls, it'll start reading them. It'll start reading the first one, then it'll stop. Then it'll start over again, and then that time it may read all of them. And at the end of a message and it's reading it, it doesn't say, do you want to reply, or like it usually does. Then sometimes I get this tone, it goes boop, 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 boop. Then it says error or something to that effect. So I'm just thinking if I could maybe reset the darn thing.
When's the last time you cleared your phone's cache, Terry?
I don't know. You said the cache?
Yeah, he cleared it. I think it might clear up a lot of little buggy issues.
How do you clear cache? Is that what it's called?
Yes, it's the volume up, volume down, and then press and hold the power button for 10 to 15 seconds. I have power sounds on, so I'll hear when it goes ding, and it'll restart itself.
I've done that several times. It doesn't seem to be.
Wow. Yeah, I don't know what to tell you about that, Terry. Maybe not a factory reset, but I don't know. Isn't there some other way to reset without losing your apps?
I don't know. Maybe I'll call the Apple Accessibility and see if they can help me with it. I haven't tried that yet.
What phone do you have?
The 13 Pro Max.
Yeah, you should not be having any issues with that.
Yeah, I have a 15 Pro Max.
Holy smoke. Wow. That's a big phone, isn't it? Is it very heavy?
It didn't look too big till I put the case on it. And it is heavy. I didn't buy it myself. That's what AIDB gave us. I'm able to get the ATAP program, Alabama Technology Assistance Program for the blind and the deaf. And that's what they gave us. And it has things like Dynamic Island. I really don't know what to use that for. I don't know what that is.
I think I'm moving to Alabama. Woo! Wow. That sounds like a really good program.
I'm moving on in.
Yeah, I should move. Hey, guys.
Hey, Chris.
Hey, Chris, you're really low.
Yeah, I could tell it was you, but you sound like you're in the other room.
Yeah, get out of that lounge chair there, Chris. So if you use that cache thing that y'all were talking about, push the volume down, then the volume up, and then hold in the other side button. I forgot how long you said, and it'll take out the cache, not everything else.
Yeah, it just kind of clears out. There's a lot of like gunk that gets a little cluttered in there in the iOS system, and it's the volume up, volume down, press and hold the power to, you know, until it for 10 to 15 seconds, and then it'll restart all by itself.
Where do you set your power to make a sound when it goes on and off?
Where did I see that? I have to go look.
Mine came that way.
Yeah, when you mentioned clear the cache, see, I guess I've heard people refer that to, you know, do a reset. You know, and I guess that's why I always call it, but I've done that several times.
Is there any way that a person can get a battery replaced? Because my battery seems to be really, I mean, I can't, there's no way I could take it anywhere overnight without bringing a charger, because it, in fact, a lot of times it'll go down to like 20%. In the middle of the day, and I've charged it up all night. And I've checked, you know, sometimes, like if I have it in my pocket and stuff, apps will open up and I don't realize it. And then I know that uses batteries, but there's no rhyme or reason to when the battery goes down and what's causing it.
Best Buy, call them. I call them all a year or so ago, and my phone was newer than Nancy's. The older the phone, the cheaper it is. I think the older one was 40 or 50. Mine was newer, so it was like 60 or 65. So, but they replace them.
word of caution when you get your battery replaced. This happened to me. I took it to the Apple store, and the Apple store did it. They replaced the battery, gave me back my phone, and it wasn't working correctly. It was not responding. It wasn't talking right. And I went ahead and left, but it was horrible. So I had to make another trip back up to the Apple store the following Monday. And I was leaving out of town the next day, so this was not a convenient time to be going through this. They did a special test on the iPhone to see where the pressure points were. And there were several on the screen that were not responding. So I was like, wow, I didn't even know you could do that. But they ended up replacing the entire phone. So make sure if you have your battery replaced, make sure you put it through it in pieces before you walk out of there.
Well, that's some good information.
Now, my stepson, he took a chance. We gave him an older phone we had. He ordered a kit from Amazon. I think it was $12, $13. Of course, he's fully sighted, so he said he didn't have a whole lot to lose. So he actually replaced the battery, and it was only like $12-$14 for the kit, plus the including the battery, and it worked. He was surprised, but yeah, you want to really, if you have a place like that, do it. You want to check before you leave. That's a good suggestion.
I actually have another question. I have used a few different pairs of AirPods over the years that I've gotten from, you know, the Apple AirPods, and I'm now using a pair that it sometimes I can usually get it to work after I play, you know, open and close the case a few times, but when I'm trying to make a phone call or if I answer the phone with the AirPods, often people can't hear me initially, so I have to go off of the AirPods to get them to hear me. And I can't, you know, it used to be that once in a while I'd have a little bit of a problem with it, but now this set of AirPods, it's like it takes forever sometimes to get them to start working. And I just wondered if any of you have experienced that and if you know anything about trying to get it to cooperate.
I don't have any experience with AirPods, but I do have a Bluetooth headset. And I do know that if you are on using the headset and the phone rings, do not answer it with the actual phone. You have to answer it with the actual headset, because otherwise, that's the experience I've had with mine.
And I've tried tapping with the AirPods. I don't know that I've done that with this set, but some AirPods that I've had wouldn't allow me to do that. So I'll try that again and see if it makes any difference, just tapping on the AirPod to see if it'll click over like it should.
Now, will Siri answer the phone or just hang it up?
It should answer it too, but I've had problems with it doing it sometimes. So I just usually do, because I'm usually close to my phone, so I'll usually just do the double tap that we were talking about before.
Yeah, that double tap is just, it's one of the more common gestures that you're going to use with the iPhone.
One thing, I don't know, it must have been a Verizon thing or something, because for the longest time, my phone was dropping calls all the time. And it was so aggravating. Sometimes a call would last for 30 seconds, sometimes it would last for 5 minutes, but inevitably, at least two or three times during a call, it would drop the call. And for about the past month, I haven't had that trouble. So I don't know if something was messed up with Verizon that they finally cleared up, but I'm sure glad it has.
Do you ever turn Wi-Fi calling on, Mark? Because that should fix it. If you have your home Wi-Fi set up, should take care of that.
Now, what does the Wi-Fi calling do? Can you kind of explain that a little bit, Terry?
Yeah, instead of going to a tower, it actually uses the internet. And so you have, if you don't have a real solid data connection or phone signal, it'll use your Wi-Fi. And it'll, you know, if you're doing any downloads or anything like that, that's the place to do it, is on your, you know, that. So, but I hopefully that's clear enough.
Okay, so in a related question, I have several different locations where I automatically use their Wi-Fi, you know, and it automatically hooks up because I've been there several times and it's in my Wi-Fi roster or whatever you call it. If you have Wi-Fi calling on, does it use any Wi-Fi that you're connected to call? And does it cost anything more to do that? Or is it just like using a computer with Skype or whatever?
No, it doesn't cost anything. It uses whatever Wi-Fi you're connected to. So it shouldn't have any problem. And no, there's no charge.
Not for cost anybody anything, it would be them. No, I'm just kidding.
Okay, so several years back I tried that. And it said you have to clear your Wi-Fi with Verizon or something. I can't remember what the deal was. But do you still have to do that? Do you still have to go through some kind of a process to actually enable it the first time?
You know, that brings me to another issue that I had similar to that. I wanted to use my iPhone as a hotspot and connect another device that I had to it. And it said, oh, you have to call your provider and get permission. I'm going, I don't get that. And I haven't done it yet, but I need to do that. But I wonder why that is.
Yeah, no. I understand that, yeah. AT&T used to do that, too. You used to have a thing pop up if you're going to use your hotspot or your, yeah, connect your computer to your phone. You'd have to call AT&T, and I don't know if they had to click on something or whatever to allow you to do it, or if they charged you extra. But then they changed it where you could use it for nothing. And so, and I'm on T-Mobile, and they've never gave me a problem as far as, you know, adding a, connecting through it. So I guess it depends on your carrier.
Well, I have AT&T, and that's the problem I had. So I haven't tried to do it lately because I never did call them to ask them about that. I should have mentioned it when I up my Wi-Fi.
We're getting rain. Can you hear it? Man, I can't believe it's really coming.
It's coming down. You can tell it. We're going to start getting some severe weather today, y'all.
Yeah, we're supposed to get rain. It's not been really hard rain here so far, but I think it's supposed to be tonight.
Well, Alabama's going to push it on to Florida, so we're going to be getting it tomorrow afternoon and Friday. I'm just so glad I don't have to go anywhere.
I don't know. I've just noticed, and people around me here have said the same thing, and I don't know whether you could blame it on the eclipse and solar flares or whatever, but a lot of stuff with the internet and text messaging and people receiving emails and all sorts of stuff has really been kind of strange in the past, I don't know, at least the past week, if not a little more. I haven't noticed it real bad other than with my cable. That's been flipping on and off, and the sound flips on and off, and it reads that caption that's on the bottom of the screen for what channel you're on, and that does that periodically. And it's just like your whole internet system seems to be going haywire.
Well, you know, the internet itself is pretty precarious. I mean, this It could go down in the blink of an eye and we'd all be in a world of hurt if it ever did.
Well, there's a whole lot of international hacking going on right now between all this stuff that's going on internationally. My grandson's in a military unit that deals with that, and he says it's way more intensive than most of us realize.
Yeah, that's pretty scary.
Back to that Wi-Fi calling for a second. Okay, so if you set that up, if you are at a place where you're out of range of any Wi-Fi, is it just like the regular Wi-Fi where it automatically goes to the data connection?
I don't know. If it does, uses your data. I tend to, a lot of time, if I'm somewhere and I'm having difficulty, I'll turn Wi-Fi off.
Mar, I'm not 100% sure, but I think it uses Wi-Fi when Wi-Fi is available. Otherwise, it'll use the data.
Yeah, that would seem logical because it does that with everything else connection related.
So, have you used the Wi-Fi calling and see if it would improve your connectivity, whether or not you drop calls or not?
I have not, because I haven't had as much trouble with that recently, and I've traveled a couple of places and things like that, and used different towers and things, and I haven't had the issues with the dropping calls like I was. Are you on Verizon, Kate?
I'm not, but my roommate is, Juanita, and she was having problems like that. And she hasn't been having those problems lately either. So I have a feeling it was something that was going on with the Verizon network.
Yeah, I knew she was. I haven't compared notes with her recently, so that's good to know that it's better for her too.
Well, I use the Wi-Fi calling here when I'm here at home. Now, I've tried it a couple times. Then you still go and turn your cellular data off. Like if you're just at your house and you're using your Wi-Fi from your house and you don't really need your, do you need your cellular data? Should you leave that on or turn it off?
I leave it on, but I think you can turn it off. You want to see if you're really connected to Wi-Fi.
So like for texts and stuff like that, wouldn't you still have to have cellular data on for that or not?
I don't think so. I think it'd use the same route that it would for if you're calling someone. Now, I'm just guessing. I don't take it for gospel. I'm not really sure, but that's what I think.
Well, I think you're right, but I'm like you. I'm only guessing.
I was looking for that power on and off, so I cannot remember, but in 2 weeks, I will make sure I have that answer for you.
Thanks, Cheryl.
Mine came that way. When you turn it off, it does make a sound, but mine came that way, so it was turned on, I think.
Mine makes a vibration and a pop noise when it comes back up, when the phone comes back up, but not going down.
I just would like to have that because I think it's so much more convenient when you know that it's coming back up. I mean, it doesn't take long for it to start talking to me, but I just would like to kind of have that reassurance that it's off and then that it's back on again.
Oh, yeah. It goes bing, and then when it comes back on, it goes bing. I love it. So I am looking for that for you.
Oh, I do too. Because when I had a little bit of vision, I could see the light come on. But now, you know, I need a way to tell it.
Yeah, I don't have that either. I don't have any sounds for that either. I'll play around with that too, because I'd like to have that.
Where is the Wi-Fi calling located in the settings? I can't find it.
It is in your phone, part of it, general settings. Go to phone, and it's in there. Turn Wi-Fi calling on or off.
I think mine's right on the main page at the top of the page when you go into settings. It's kind of right there, I think, if I remember right.
All right. Any other tips, tricks, suggestions, or topics? Or although we haven't finished this one, but yeah, anybody else?
I started playing with an app called Clue. And what it's supposed to assist you with is indoor navigation. And I just started playing with it. It takes a little bit of a learning curve. It's got some good instructions. But what you're supposed to be able to do is, if you are in unfamiliar surroundings, say a hotel, and this is why I'm thinking about it, because we have our state convention coming up, and I thought, oh, wonder if it'll be usable. Say you're at your hotel room door, and you show the app that that's your initial point A. And then it sounds like you walk with it, or if somebody guides you to, say, a point B, like a restaurant in the hotel or the meeting room or something like that. And then you mark that as your point B, so that, and you save that, you give that route a name, and then you're supposed to be able to turn around to go back to point A, and as you're walking, it will, the voiceover will direct you. If you start to veer off the path, or it'll tell you keep going straight or whatever. Like I say, I just started playing with this. If anybody else has used it, it looks interesting. I don't know how practical it is, you know, to be listening to it as you're walking around like a public place like that. I just thought I would see what it does and if it would be of any use.
I think Terry has a little experience with that in the hospital one time. He was telling us about that. And I discovered where that power off and on sounds is. Under accessibility, audio visual is in there.
Thanks, Cheryl. That's awesome. I'm going to go look at that very shortly.
Terry, you want to tell about your experience with that app? Uh-oh. Are you multitasking? Mm-hmm. Anyway, I will tell the story since I've heard it. So Terry has the app, and when his stepson was in the hospital one time, his wife took him to the restroom, and she went back to the waiting room. Well, he had recorded the route from the restroom. So when he got out of the restroom, he used that app to go back to the waiting room where his wife was, and it worked really well. So that's his story.
Oh, wow. Okay. Well, I'll have to keep playing with it. And I could see potential. I mean, I was just going from different locations here in my apartment, so I haven't ventured out to a longer route or whatever. But, boy, that's neat.
Oh, yeah. I wish they'd have had that when I lived in an apartment complex and had to go to the laundry room. Oh, boy, that would have been so neat to be able to do that. That might come in handy this year at the convention. So a lot of us are going to the ACB. It's going to be in Jacksonville this year. So that might be a handy app to call on.
And I believe it was free. So can't beat that.
Yeah, free is hard to beat. So everybody's pretty quiet. So we're all experts on the iPhone, right?
We're all playing with our phones.
I'm trying to do this Wi-Fi calling, and I have to put in my address for emergency. And of course, it takes me forever to type things, so I'm doing that.
Oh, okay. Well, that's no problem. We just got a little quiet.
I wish someone would do a, and I think John did at one time, but it's been several years ago, steps for how to get VIP conduit on your phone.
Yeah, that can be arranged. I think it's already in text file. So I can probably take that text file and turn it into an audio.
I wonder if Parker's in here, or maybe in here. I wonder if it's in the items of interest.
Well, here's how I did it. So I went on to the iPhone, I went into the Safari app and then went to vipconduit.com and then went to the member login and signed in. And once I got signed in, I found the share button. And then after you select the share button, you flick over to add to home screen and it creates an icon on your phone. So all I have to do, and it's called VIP Conduit. So all I have to do is double tap on that icon and it brings me right into that login screen. All I have to do is select log on, double tap, and I'm on VIP.
That's exactly how I do it.
Yeah, I had it on my phone or on one of my phones, and but I guess I lost it. It's not on this one anyway. Yeah, I bet that is up there somewhere. The only problem I had before was to get it to remember my password. I did what it said to have it remember, but it didn't want to seem to remember it.
Yeah, mine seems to stay in there because I did select Remember Me and it checked it before I hit the share button. So make sure that's selected before you go to share it to your home screen. And it should stick. I have had very good luck with it. So when I come into VIP on my phone, that's how I do it. Well, all right. On that note, we're going to go ahead and close out the users group for today, and we will see you in 2 weeks and we'll do it again. Thank you all for coming.